Hey man, what's up everybody? Good to virtually see you all. I hope you're all having a good day and figured out how to make use of this rainy day without being able to go outside anywhere and stuff. But thanks everybody that shared some encouragement. It's important to build each other up and express our love and appreciation for each other. And thanks Gigi and Ben for welcoming us and sharing personally in that too. I'm excited to be able to preach the word tonight. I'm going to be coming mostly, entirely out of 1 Thessalonians. It's an awesome book. We're going to look at a little bit of chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 4 in that order, which is the right order. So you can open up your Bible to 1 Thessalonians, and we'll be getting there in a little bit. But as you know, our theme for the semester is We the People. And we're focusing on the different qualities we should have as the people of God. We've talked about a lot of different great things. We've talked about how we are to be the people of God, people of Jesus, the people of grace, people of the Spirit, people of wisdom. We've talked about a lot of great things. And tonight, I'm going to be talking about being we the people of conviction. That we are, as disciples of Jesus, men and women who have deep convictions, things that we firmly believe and hold to. I really believe that if you want to remain faithful, if you want to persevere through challenges, if you want to continue to grow, and if you want to be a changer in the world instead of being changed by the world, you need deep, godly convictions. It's not going to happen without it. And so my hope is for you to leave here tonight equipped and more determined than ever to build deep convictions in your Christianity. You know, I do think that, just to kind of share my thought on it a little bit, is that most people, I'm not super concerned, are going to just flat out deny the faith and walk away one day like, I don't believe in Christianity at all. My bigger concern, I think what I've seen is more common and even more common in scripture, is that people adapt their faith into a different form of it and kind of let influence from the world or from life or from other things and ideas kind of merge into their Christianity. And this is why we need deep convictions, is because the battle is not always so much just, I don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe in Christianity, although sure that happens for some people. But more, do we hold true to what God has called us to have deep convictions about? And that is really important for us, especially as younger people who have a whole life ahead of us, that we develop deep convictions now. So as the world goes through many different ideological changes, societal changes, cultural changes, what have you, we have our feet firmly planted with what our deep convictions are. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 4 to 7. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the church, the disciples in the city of Thessalonica. He planted that church and moved on and was now writing this letter back to them. And he's recalling how they responded to the gospel when they were young in the faith, when they were young Christians. And so let's read what he writes here in 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 to 7. It says, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." You know, there's a lot of great stuff in just these three short verses, but you got to hear what the Spirit is saying here. Paul says, here's in the first verse I read, verse 4, here's how we know God chose you. Here's how we know God approves of you. And one of the things he says is because your Christianity is founded on deep convictions, also with the Holy Spirit and with power. These were not just words. they really became who you were, who you are. And so if we want to know, man, did God choose me? Does God approve of me? One of the ways that we evaluate ourselves, and that is, well, is my Christianity founded on deep or shallow convictions? And God is really looking for deep conviction in each one of us tonight. And I love that it says, by having deep conviction, we could even become a model for others, right? And it said, man, you guys became a model for all the believers throughout that area of the world. And man, what a great opportunity and calling for us here in New York City and New York and the surrounding area for us to be so deep in our faith that we become a model for people of what it looks like to follow Jesus all around the world. And so, you know, what else I love about this passage is it shows us that if our faith is built on deep convictions, then we will remain faithful even in spite of severe suffering. You know, that's what it said here is, man, they didn't have deep convictions because life was easy. They needed and they had deep convictions because life was really hard. And I don't know exactly what was going on. They were dealing with probably a multitude of different things in the world they were living in, maybe within the church at that time. But whatever the situation, they stayed faithful even in the face of severe suffering because they had deep convictions. And so that's so important for us as well. And so what is conviction? Well, in case you're a little fuzzy on that, conviction, having a deep conviction, means that you have unrelenting, unwavering principles or firmly held beliefs. You know, to have a deep conviction is like, look, I believe this, and it's solid. It's not wavering. You can't push it away. You can't blow it away. You can't alter it. This is a deep conviction, a core belief. I hold firmly to this. That's what a conviction is, and God calls us to have conviction. You know, so I'd ask, do you have conviction? Do you have deep conviction in your Christianity? You know, conviction that is not half-hearted and one foot in, one foot out, but conviction that is determined to please God, doesn't get easily shaken or thrown off course. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus talks about our discipleship and says it's not just about starting as a disciple, but about finishing, about making it to the end. And guys, that's the vision God has for us, is to make it to heaven, not just to get baptized and be a member of the campus ministry for a year, 2 years, 3 years. God's vision, his plan, is for you to follow Jesus for 10, 20, 50, 60 years, or however long it is before he comes back or your life ends. But his vision is for you to make it to the end, to cross the finish line. And along the way, to not just hang in there by a thread, but to really grow and to do well. And it's deep conviction that really makes the difference. And so I have 2 points for building deep convictions tonight. And the 2 points are, deep convictions are based on God's word and based on God's righteousness. So if you want to have deep convictions, then your convictions need to come from the word of God. And your convictions need to be based on God's righciousness. And so we'll read another verse here in 1 Thessalonians 2 in a little bit. But this first point, convictions based on God's word. Guys, you know what? We're really, really blessed, lucky, fortunate, favored, loved to have the Bible. If we did not have the Bible, you would have no idea who God was, what he wanted, what's right, how to get to his house in heaven one day. We would be guessing, we'd be clueless. But what's awesome is God tells us what he wants. God tells us what's right. God, right? His order is clear. It's not complicated or confusing. He's given us his word. I don't know if you guys have dealt with this at all, maybe during the pandemic where you placed an online delivery for something, maybe your family ordered groceries, and you put the stuff in the car and then it came to your house and they just replaced a bunch of it with stuff that's totally not a replacement for that thing. You're like, what were they thinking that chickpeas is a replacement for tomato sauce. Like, that's not true. You know, and it's like, I ordered this and I got this. You know, I might have shared this story before. I can't remember where to or who to, but I remember being so disappointed one time. And I am not a send my food back type of person, just so you know. I'm not like, oh, they got it wrong, send it back. If you are, that's fine. But I typically just roll with it and eat it anyway. If there's, you know, not what I got, as long as it's still decent food, I'm going to eat it. But I remember one time going to this burger spot in the city with three friends of mine. And we all ordered our food and sat down, and all of theirs came and not mine. And, you know, I'm like struggling inside, but I'm like, no, guys, go ahead. You guys can eat. And they're digging in, and I'm hungry and waiting. And, you know, 5 minutes goes by and maybe a few more. And next thing you know, they're basically done with their food, and I still haven't gotten mine. And finally, I was like, all right, I got to go say something. So I get up and go tell them, and they were like, oh, we completely forgot your order. And I was like, well, good thing I said something. So then they make it and they bring the burger over to me, and it's just smothered in Swiss cheese. And if it was any other cheese, I would have been fine. But I specifically ordered, I was American or cheddar cheese, and Swiss is like one of the only cheeses I don't like. And I'm like, oh, I just hate to be picky, but it's like, at this point, I want what I actually ordered. So I brought it back up and I was like, hey, so I don't want Swiss cheese on this. I ordered it this way, showed them the receipt. They're like, oh, we're so sorry. We'll make a new one. So everybody's long done with their food at this point. I'm now waiting for mine again. And, you know, they finally bring it over to me. So sorry, sir, whatever. And so they put the burger down in front of me, the correct cheese and everything. And I open the bun to put on, you know, ketchup or whatever. And there's just a big hair on it. And I just was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, if it was a small hair, guys, honestly, I would have picked it off and eaten it. But this was a big hair. This was a long hair. And I was like, I can't eat this. Like, so I brought it back up again, and they had to remake it. And they, you know, they gave me free fries with it this last time. So I got some free fries out of it. But, you know, guys, we don't like it when we order something and then what's brought to us isn't what we ordered. And we especially don't like it if what's brought to us is something we actually even don't like and don't even really want to eat, or it has hair on it. And it's just kind of disgusting. And guys, here's the situation we're in, is that we're trying to live a life that pleases God. And we're not in a place where we have to guess what God wants. And we're going to him and we've got hair on it, or it's the wrong cheese. And it's like, no, man, I'm not pleased with you. And that we're going to get to the end of our life and cross our fingers and hope that we were right with God. Hope we were forgiven. Hope we lived it right. Hope we gave him what he ordered. You know, we're not in that situation. We are in a position where God has given us in his word how to be saved, what a Christian is, what's true, what he wants, who he is. And we have no excuse. His order is completely clear. He's going to have the receipt. He's going to have the receipt, and he's going to say, look, this is what I said. This is what I asked. Right? We're really, really blessed, guys, to have the word of God to make things clear for us. God has told us what he wants, right? And what's awesome for us is what he wants is what's best for us as well. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it talks about being conformed to God's will. And then it says to his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So When you do what God asks of you, it's actually good, pleasing, and perfect for you as well. And that's you know, just further God's grace into our lives. And we should be so grateful for that. But, you know, real, lasting, difference-making conviction that pleases God comes from his word. His word needs to be where our convictions are based out of. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll keep reading here. But he reminds them of where their convictions came from. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's read verse 10 to 13. It says, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. And so Paul's saying, look, when you became a Christian, you received it with, you became Christians with deep conviction. And then he's going into more detail, and then he's saying, look, we thank God continually because when you heard the word of God from us, you didn't accept it as our words, as the words of man. You accepted it as it actually is, which is the word of God. Right? Conviction comes from a foundation on the word of God as the words of God. You've got to really have a deep conviction that the Bible is not some book by man. It's not just words like any other quote that you could read. These are the words of God, and we need to accept them as the words of God. We must view the Bible as God's word and build convictions from them, from the scriptures, right? Knowing that the Bible, if it's God's words, then we can always trust it. It's always right. It's always what's best. It's always what's true, right? God's word is the ultimate authority. No one else's wisdom or intellect or ideas comes close to comparing to the wisdom of God. It's all foolishness. And so we can go to the Bible if we really believe it's God's words with a confidence that, man, this is what's right and best and true, regardless of what I'm struggling with or tempted to believe or what other people are saying. I can trust this because it's from God. You know, what the Bible says, that's got to be, as Christians, where our convictions come from. Right, our convictions cannot come from culture, right, in the world today. Man, what do most people think? What do most people believe? What do most people feel? That can't be what our conviction is based off of, or based off our opinions. Well, I know the Bible says that, but I think this. That's putting yourself in the seat of God, right? We can't build our convictions off of our feelings. You know, well, I feel like this is right, so it must be right. I feel like this is true. I don't feel like that, right? Or I feel this way today, or right? And that can include sentimentality, right? We can feel sentimental sometimes, and that can influence our beliefs. We got to make sure that our beliefs are based on scriptures, not on our feelings, right? And there's a whole bunch of other things our convictions could be based on: popular opinion, things that people are saying in the world, or other people's lifestyles. You know, there's all sorts of stuff, but guys, these things are sand convictions. Think about Matthew 7, the wise and foolish builder. One puts the word of God into practice and builds his house on the rock. The other doesn't, and his house is built on the sand. If our convictions are built on anything besides the word of God, they are sand convictions. Your convictions have got to come from the word, and then there will be rock convictions, rock solid convictions that you could really stand through the storms in and really stand on, right? So where do your convictions come from? And maybe you need to think about a couple different areas and go, well, what are my convictions about this? And where does that come from? And obviously we want to be basing our convictions on the Bible. And if they're not, we've got to dig into what the Bible says on that topic and draw our convictions from there. But guys, whatever the area is, we follow Jesus in every area, not just the areas that we agree with him on. And so whatever the area, purity, money, what is sin, what's not sin, how does somebody get saved, right? How do I make, you know, what decisions should I make about something, right? Whatever the area, your conviction is what you believe and practice about that thing. And so we should be going to the scriptures to get what we believe and what we're going to practice about anything and everything, not go to somewhere else. And guys, there are some verses and truths in the Bible. Honestly, there's stuff in the Bible that's confusing. There's also disputable matters in the Bible. But there are other things that are not confusing, right? And there's other things that are straightforward, that are clear, and that are really, really important for us to have a solid ground on, right? Especially with all the false Christianity in the world, especially with the influence and the pull of tug of various different ideas or cultures in the world. We've got to really stand firm on some basic, simple truths in the Bible. Some of them for me, some of them that should be there for all of us, right? You've got to have a deep conviction that God is holy. He is the only God, that God is good, God is all-powerful, God is trustworthy, God is always right. You got to have a deep conviction that sin is sin. Doesn't matter who does it, what people feel about it. If the Bible says it separates you from God, it separates you from God. If God says it is sin, you got to trust him. Sin is sin. Not being sober is sin. Sexual activity before marriage is sin. Lust is sin. Homosexuality is sin. Right? Lying, cheating, cursing, being deceitful is sin. Regardless of the world, what the world says, what our feelings are, if the Bible calls something sin, we've got deep convictions. Yes, that is actually sin. Deep convictions that all of us are equal before God, right? But also that we've all equally fallen short of God and need to be saved. We need a deep conviction that no one can be saved outside of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross and through the resurrection. We need to have a deep conviction that we cannot save ourselves, right? No matter all the works we do or how good we are, we need God's grace. And through Jesus, we are now righteous, and we do not need to earn our salvation. It was given to us, and now we just get to live up to it and live a life worthy of it. That's got to be a deep conviction, right? Once we are saved, we are not always saved. We must walk faithfully with God. Other deep convictions, I need to be in my Bible. I need to be in the Word. I need to be in prayer. I need to live a life where I rely on God and rely on his Spirit. A deep conviction that the Bible is living and active. It's fully relevant, and it's not to be adapted or adjusted to cultural or moral trends in the world as the world changes. But the Bible was true when it was written, and it's still just as true today. Right? I need deep convictions that I need people in my life. Discipling is part of following Jesus. I need to love people, love my neighbor as myself, be kind, compassionate, serving. Deep conviction that repentance and baptism are an essential and necessary part of God's plan for salvation. And they need to be done in a biblical way, not just any way. And we need a deep conviction that this world is not our home, that one day Jesus is coming back. Everyone will be judged. Hell is real, but also heaven is real. And that's where we should be putting our treasure. And those in Christ, we got to really, really believe this. Those of us in Christ are going to go on to spend eternity with God in a new world where there will be no sin, sorrow, or sadness. Guys, these are just some straightforward things the Bible says. Some of them are challenging, some are encouraging, but we need to have deep convictions about what the Bible says about this stuff, right? These are all truths I hold on to. Many of these, I'll be honest, in the almost 11 years I've been a Christian, many of these have been poked, prodded, persecuted, and even pondered, right? But that's why we need deep convictions, right? If we're going to count on anything being sure, if we're going to count on anything being right, we've got to count on God's word. Everything else changes, the world, what the world says is right, what we feel, what we think, but God's word has not changed. God has not changed. He is trustworthy. Right? Some of these things that I listed, maybe you wrestle with some of those. Maybe you have questions or emotions about some of those that you need to deal with. Right? And that's okay. We got to work through that stuff. We don't just shove it under a rug. We got to work through that stuff. But we've got to have a deep conviction as we work through that. Man, but if the Bible says it, it must be right. It must be true. I just need to work on my doubts. I need to work on my questions. I need to work on my feelings. Right? There's a difference between, like believing something's true, but having a hard time with it and needing to work that out. And questioning whether something is true or not. And if we're Christians, we've got to believe the Bible is true. And so if something doesn't sit right or we don't understand something, that's what we need to work with rather than going down the hole of, well, maybe God's, you know, wrong and I'm right about this. You know, I do think it's important that all of you, all of us learn to think biblically. Thinking biblically is thinking godly, thinking spiritually. It's all the same thing. We've got to learn to think biblically. When stuff happens in the world, we've got to learn, well, how do I think biblically about this? How do I think about this the way God does? Right? As different teachings are thrown at you from other disciples or from other Christian churches or Christian people, you can't just take it at face value. You've got to think biblically about it. Well, what does the Bible say about that? Right? Things that other Christians do or say, you got to learn to think biblically, right? And that's how we develop deep convictions, right? Guys, sometimes I see quotes that people post or disciples post, and I'm like, do they really know their Bible? Because this just isn't good Bible. I get the heart, I get the idea, but we got to think biblically. And it's not a huge deal, but just as an example, I saw a post the other day, and it was a quote by some pastor or something, and it said, Jesus didn't say follow Christians, he said follow me. And I saw that, and I was like, okay, I get it. Jesus said follow me. And so, yes, as a disciple, our goal, our focus is to follow Jesus. We're not trying to be like anybody else. We're trying to be like Jesus. But then you think about it too, Jesus didn't say follow Christians, he said follow me. Behind that, at least I saw, is a subliminal message of it doesn't really matter what other Christians do or think about what you do. Just be focused on Jesus, and you know, we're not really needing to worry about what other people are doing or following other people's examples. And there's a twang of rebelliousness in that post. And there's certainly people with the title Christian that we should not be imitating. But if you're thinking biblically, maybe even some of you already have thought of scriptures that kind of contradict that a little bit. First of all scripture is God-breathed. So whether it came directly out of Jesus's mouth or someone else's, the whole Bible is the words of Jesus. It's all the words of God. And right off the top of my head, Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's the word of God, right? I read in 1 Thessalonians for them to become imitators of us. Hebrews 13 says, consider your leaders and the outcome of their life and imitate their faith, right? So it is biblical to follow the Christ-like example of other Christians. It is biblical to have Christian role models and spiritual advisors and good examples that you follow. Obviously, we're not following them, we're following Jesus, but part of following Jesus is following spiritual leaders and spiritual examples. I hope you get where I'm coming from and what I'm saying. The idea is just reading something and thinking biblically and not just, you know, taking things at face value. We've got to think biblically about stuff, right? But if we're going to have deep convictions and we're going to think biblically, you've got to know your Bible. And that takes getting in your Bible regularly. You've got to be a man of the word. You've got to be a woman of the word, somebody who really spends great time and you hang on God's words. You love God so much. You want to know what he says, what he thinks, what he feels. Right? I was praying this week, God, I want to feel the way you do about stuff. Help me to feel the way you do. When things happen in the world, when things happen in my life, I don't even know how God feels about certain things, but I want to learn. I want to figure it out. How would God feel about this? Like on a thought level, on a decision level, and on an emotional level. I don't want to do what I think or what I want. I want to figure out, well, what does God say? What does God feel? What does God want? Right, we've really got to get in the word to develop those convictions. That's why regular time in the Bible is so important, right? It's conviction building time. You know, so how is your daily Bible study going? Right? If the depth of your convictions is based on the depth of your time in God's word, how shallow is your faith? Right? If you were to look at your time in God's word right now, how deep are you digging? Are you planting God's word firmly rooted in your heart, firmly rooted in your mind, so that as life takes its swings, as we go through severe suffering, as hardship happens, as there's doubts, as there's offshoots of Christianity and different teachings and all sorts of stuff that comes around, will you have dug deep enough in your Bible to withstand the storm and stay true to God, stay faithful with deep convictions? Right, you've got to have deep conviction to be in God's word every day and not having shallow, surfacey quiet times, but really studying the word, writing it on your heart and your mind, learning it and living it. Right, deep convictions that help us last through the storms and grow spiritually come from the word of God. And secondly, convictions, deep convictions, are based on God's righteousness. I'm going to cut a lot of this point out for time tonight, but I'm just going to read this verse and then try to make this clear. But righteousness means what's right in a relationship, being right in a relationship. And so biblical righteousness is being in a right relationship with God, right? And so what's righteousness? Well, it's doing what's right in your walk with God. What pleases God? What approves? What does God approve of? What does it mean to walk with him? That's righteousness. And so our convictions need to be based on what God considers righteous, not what we or other people think is righteous. We need convictions based on God's righteousness. Those lead to all the fruits of living a righteous life that the Bible talks about. It's walking closely with God the way he says to walk closely with God. You know, Paul said in the verse I read earlier that they set an example on how to live holy, righteous, and blameless. That was the example for them to follow. And that's the example for us to follow as well, is living a holy, righteous, and blameless life so we can walk closely with God. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 to 8. Sorry, for some reason my Bible turned a bunch of pages. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 to 8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will," here's what he wants, "that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit." Right? I love that it says, man, live in a way that pleases God and do this more and more. Guys, that should be the goal for our life, that the longer we live, the more we please God. Right? That our heart for God is always growing. That our idolatry to other things in this world is always being pushed back further and further, and God is always being put more and more in his proper place in his life. That we're always growing closer to God, more eager in our walk with God, growing in our desire to please God, so that God's will is for you to be sanctified. Right? God's will is for us to become more set apart from this world, consecrated, holy, for us to become more and more his people, the people that are like him, sanctified. And part of that means controlling our bodies in a way that is holy and honorable, worthy of praise. As the way that we control our bodies, right? It talks clearly about sexual sin, but that could apply to other things as well. The way that you treat your body and use your body. You want to live in this you know, temple of the Holy Spirit in a way that brings glory and honor and praise to God. Right? To live a holy life. And what it says is that if you're not, it says you're not going against people. It says you are rejecting the Spirit. You are rejecting God. And so it's about what the Spirit desires, not, and our convictions can't be about, well, do I feel okay with this? Right? And do other people feel okay with this? What's kind of the cultural norm? Right? We got to go, well, is God okay with this? Right? And that's really what we got to try to base our convictions off of, is what is righteous to God. You know, I'll just mention this quick. And I think sometimes things can be viewed as church culture, which our church certainly has cultures. But some of those things should be viewed more as Christian convictions rather than, well, church culture. Okay, it's church culture, but is it a biblical conviction? Here's the thing, is culture can be based on biblical convictions, but convictions can't be based on culture. You can't base your convictions off of church culture, but church culture should be based off of biblical convictions. And if they are, then they're great to follow. And I think honestly, even within our campus ministry, within our church, I think sometimes what can happen where people end up with a bad view or bad taste on different church cultural practices or whatever, I think with a lot of these things, from my perspective and experience, is that very good practices with good reason, good Bible, were passed on from one person to another without there always being good Bible or understanding behind it being passed on. And it was passed on more as a rule. And it might have been a good rule, but if we don't understand it, if we don't get where it comes from in the Bible, then we're likely to rebel against it, right? It loses its heart. And so that doesn't mean that that cultural thing is bad or not righteous. It just means we need to be learners and humble and seek to understand, not just blindly follow something or blindly rebel against something because it doesn't sit right with us. We got to seek to understand, well, what does the Bible teach? Pray about it. God, what do you think about this? Ask questions. Try to understand. Give the benefit of the doubt instead of giving default criticism or mistrust, right? And have conversations and not just jump on the bandwagon of angst or resistance or whatever, right? I think a lot of these things were just passed on without good Bible or good understanding with them, and they kind of lost their heart. And so we don't want to just reject those things. We want to seek to understand, well, what does the Bible teach and what is righteous to God? But the main point here is that our convictions about what's right to God, what walking with God looks like, can't be based on what's right to us, but on God's righteousness. We need convictions based on God's righteousness. And guys, there's such an incredible payoff of living with deep convictions, right? We get to live with a firm foundation, knowing that what we believe is right, it is true, and it didn't come from us, from the world, what we feel. It doesn't shift. It came from the maker of the heavens and the earth. It came from God Almighty himself, right? If our convictions are deep and they are based on the word of God and they're based on God's righteousness, then we will stand through the storms. You will remain faithful in spite of severe suffering, right? You will not just maintain the title of Christian, but you will really maintain a close walk with God as someone who truly follows Jesus. This is what God is calling us to develop deep convictions, right? Let's not just blindly follow things. Let's make sure we really dig in and develop deep convictions about what's right, about what's true. Deep convictions are based on the word of God, and deep convictions are based on God's righteousness. Hope this was helpful tonight. Love you guys. And Mark is going to close us out here, but let's be people of conviction.
Amen. Rob, thank you so much.